Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Yes! What is up, everybody? Welcome to Bob and Michael Bradley's favorite podcast in soccer we trust.
I'm Jimmy Cream Cheese Conrad, alongside Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies and Hollywood Heath Pearson. We are thrilled to have a very, very special guest joining us today whose name is on the tip of everyone's tongues for a potential spot as the number 9 with the U.S. men's national team because of his dominant performances in MLS this season. It's FC Cincinnati's Brandon Vasquez. Now, before we get to him, we have to let everybody know that this podcast is a finalist for the best sports podcast, which is incredible, and we're blown away by your support. However, if you voted before, make sure you look out for an email so you can vote for us again and we can put some trophies in our In Soccer We Trust cabinet. Also, we have merch now, which just took this whole thing to the next level. So if you want to wrap your favorite podcast with official In Soccer We Trust gear, it's only found on the CBS Sports Store. Imagine it. It's kind of like one of those booths outside of a stadium. We got t-shirts and mugs and hats and bags and water bottles. Unfortunately, no Vuvuzelas yet. And because we love all of our beautiful listeners, you get 20% off of your order when you use this podcast exclusive code SOCCER20 during checkout. That's right, SOCCER20. It's only available for our listeners, which includes our amazing YouTube community. So head over to store.cbssports.com and shop now. So Heath, coming to you first. We're the only soccer podcast that's a finalist. We have merch now, and a VIP guest is joining us. Do you feel like our In Soccer We Trust baby is growing up and kind of maybe getting some hair on its chest?
I don't know, Jimmy. This live with StreamYard thing on your forehead on the screen is just,
yeah, it's blocking
throwing me off. I can only see a mouth. It's like you're blurring your eyes out. You know, your eyes do have some intensity, so
it's okay. Yeah, it's part of it. Maybe
did StreamYard drop somebody on the spot?
Maybe I'm having a bad hair day. And if you're watching on YouTube, it's covering my hair. So yeah. I'm glad with that. Now, Chuck, as our resident number 9, we got you a number 9 to talk to. So how excited are you for this Brandon Vasquez interview?
I'm amped. I mean, we want to talk to the players who are potentially going to be leading the line in the World Cup. So let's get them on.
All right, let's do this. Okay, everybody, it's time for the tale of the tape for our special guest. Standing 6'2" tall, according to MLSsoccer.com, the Wikipedia says he's 6'3", so I don't know what to believe, and weighing just short of 200 pounds of muscle, which means he's an absolute tank. It's the pride of Chula Vista, California, who has represented the U.S. at the U.S. national team levels, but never at the senior level, who scored a very small amount of goals and his very small amount of playing time during the early part of his MLS career. But since becoming the guy up top for FC Cincinnati, he has produced, just got to give him some playing time, obviously, scoring 15 goals in 24 league games so far this season, which is the same amount as Jesus Ferreira, which is good for second in the Golden Boot race. It's Brandon Vasquez! Brandon,
what's
up, man? Thanks.
What's going on, guys? What's going on?
Good to see you. So when you have success like you're having, there's obviously the hype that comes along with it, including me banging on a drum and screaming into a megaphone. How do you handle the hype, Brandon?
You know, for me, it's all buzz on the outside. You know, I know there's a lot of talk going around, but I try to just focus on training every day, getting better every day, and performing every time I get on the field. You know, that's what I try to let do the talking for me. So yeah,
I like that. Brendan, how old are you, real quick? Just so everybody can know.
23. I turned 24 in October.
23, turning 24 in October. Do you feel like, you know, for you,
of course you are.
Do you feel like, for you, you're emerging onto the scene as a bona fide goal scorer in the form that you're in right now? Do you feel like, because you've been a professional as long as you have, that perhaps you're not getting the attention you deserve as if you were, say, a couple years younger, or first year pro or second year pro? Do you feel like that's a little bit of what's happening right now? Because I'm backing you. Jimmy's backing you. Charlie's got some. Charlie's backing you now. But it took a moment for you to win him over. But just in terms of your age, you're emerging now, coming into a World Cup year. I mean, talk to me about what you're feeling right now and all that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely an exciting moment for me. I mean, having a season like this, sometimes it still feels unreal. You know, I sometimes go back and look at some of the goals that I've scored this season, and it's like, dang, like I did that, you know. But sometimes it's still unreal for me. But kind of like I said earlier, you know, like I got to keep striving for more. You know, what's in the past, I kind of have to be grateful about it and leave it there and keep moving on, you know.
Real quick, though, is it form or is this your quality that we're seeing? Are you in peak form or is this a quality thing?
I think it's quality, man. I think it's quality.
It's a little bit of both.
Probably, yeah, too. A lot of playing time.
He's not a goal. Hey, Brendan, forgive him. He's not a goal scorer. He doesn't get it. Is that a form thing or is that a quality thing?
No, Charlie, hold up. Charlie, you and I both know that we've played with players that you're like, that's form. That's all form. That's not quality. That guy, I won't name him.
Name him.
Name Justin Braun.
Justin Braun?
Justin Braun. Jimmy, you know.
Oh, when he was with Chivas USA?
Yeah. I remember Justin Braun.
Guy scored hat tricks in MLS.
Yeah,
couldn't trap a ball to save his life. Oh my God!
Justin Braun just took a big stray today. He took a nice stray from Heath Pierce.
Heath took a real stray.
Wow! Wow!
Brendan, what I love about what you just said is you look back at where you were. You know, 2019, 2 goals. 2020, 2 goals. 2021, 4 goals. 2022. We're just halfway through the season, 15 goals. So you have that perspective of what it takes to get to where you are now, all the hard work and dedication. What was that one performance for you this year that you said, yeah, things are different? Like, this was that game changer for me.
For sure. Like you said, I mean, past couple of years, it was tough for me, you know, coming on and getting 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. And with Cincinnati, I mean, usually I would come on and we'd be down a couple goals. So teams just sitting back, it was tough, you know. But this year, it's definitely been, I think it was the first game versus or it was the third game of the season for us versus Orlando, and yeah, I got a brace that game, and it was one of those moments where it was kind of just like it was a boost of confidence, you know, because I'd finished the season last year with I started 4 or 5 games and I had 3 goals in those games. So it was just kind of like going back where I had ended off, starting back up. And it was just one of those where, you know, I mean, first 3 games, 2 goals. It was just one of those things where definitely a boost of confidence. And it was just like, all right, we're just getting started. You know, we got 30 something games left. Like, let's get it. You know, it's a challenge. I'm going to push myself, you know, who knows?
Now, Brendan, I'm glad you
15. Damn.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought up last season, because you did get a nice run of games and you got a whole bunch of goals there, and you just kind of parlayed that momentum into the start of this season. And it makes me wonder what your career would have looked like up until this point if you got to play more when you were playing for your previous MLS clubs, because it's really clear that once you've got that little bit of belief that you're allowed to make some mistakes, you know, because sometimes when you're a young player and you make a mistake, the old guy won't get blame for it because the coach maybe doesn't have the same type of courage, but he'll blame the young guy.
Jim was never blamed. I mean, we're talking from the early 60s on.
Here we go. So Brandon, let's keep it in MLS, because obviously we're going to talk about the U.S. men's national team, but what kind of influence has Pat Noonan had on you and the coaching staff and maybe Luciano Acosta as well, like dropping you dimes in terms of, hey, when I get the ball, maybe look to make this run to make that happen? I'm kind of curious, because we were teammates with Pat with the men's national team in terms of what he's brought to the table.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Pat and the whole coaching staff he's brought in, even the GM coming in and changing things up from what it was last couple years. I mean, they've completely changed the culture around at the team, you know. I mean, last year there was moments where some players didn't know exactly what their job was and what positions the coaches wanted them on the field. Like, and this year everybody's clear on what their job is. Everybody knows exactly what they need to do every time they step on the field and what spaces and what kind of runs we need to make, especially when a player like Lucho has the ball on his feet, you know, like as soon as he gets the ball on his feet, every forward knows we're running in behind, you know? So he's that kind of player that can pick out a 2-foot window and put the ball in between there. So, yeah, you know, I mean, having the whole coaching staff has been incredible this year and having their trust. I mean, it's only shown, I mean, it shows where we are today. And yeah, having a player like Lucho behind me feeding me dimes, it's
money.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. any number nine wants a 10 like that. So yeah, it's great.
Do you think that you've improved your range of scoring or ways? You know, one of the things we talk about quite often on this show is just striker is a main theme, obviously, for the national team and the subject matter of the show. But finding ways to be impactful outside of just scoring goals. Do you feel your game has developed in other ways where you're finding ways, one, to score goals differently, but also be impactful over a 90-minute period?
Even defensive press, hold up, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think I'm very good at my hold up play. And that's something that is big in the way we play at FC Cincinnati. You know, I mean, I hold up the ball, bring Lucho on the play, and our wingers are coming straight in, and our fullbacks are up attacking high. And I think it's been a lot of fun this season. I mean, we have such great creative attackers, and our fullbacks too. They do a great job of putting balls in the box, and yeah, I mean, it's all I could ask for, really.
What's training been like for you? I know we talked about it during All-Star break. You had Dom Kinnear. He's giving you pointers. Mm-hmm. You're going over a video with him. Been massive for you. But in terms of individual battles, I can tell you, playing against Matt Miazga, Jeff Cameron, and even Nick Haglund, they were notorious in just giving me lumps, kicks, elbows. What's it like? Have you had any bust ups yet with Jeff Cameron? I know he likes to run his mouth. He's still running his mouth in training. And how's that been for you?
You know, it's great. You know, it's one of those things where there's that little battle between me and the center backs all the time, and it just pushes each of us to get better every single session. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, for
who gives you the toughest matchup in training? I mean, Miazga just got there, but
yeah. I've had about a week of training with Miazga, and we've done a lot of like starting 11 stuff. So I haven't been able to go up against him, but yeah, I would say probably Nick Haglund, because he's a hard guy to post up. You know, usually I'm pretty good at like posting up center backs, and he's a strong guy. So sometimes it's hard to be able to throw him around the way I can do with other people.
Yeah. So, Brandon, you got to take into consideration that Charlie's little, so he doesn't know this.
Hey, I posted up your boy a few times.
Sure. With Charlie's got a nice little bubble butt that maybe you don't have, Brandon. So that helps him out. So how disappointed were you, I guess, in some capacity, that when there was a 27-man roster for the U.S. men's national team in June, given how well you'd been performing up until that point, you didn't get called in? That's kind of part one of this. And there's also the quote that Berhalter had about you. He said, he's close. If Brandon continues to score goals at this rate, which you are, and his team continues to win, I'm sure there'll be an opportunity for him in the future. I don't know what that means in terms of timing, but he's a guy we've been impressed with regard to his play. That's Greg Berhalter in May. So you didn't get called in June, even though you've continued this up. You're continuing to score now, MLS All-Star, and now scored, what, 7 in your last 7. You're on complete fire. Haji Wright didn't really make the most of his time in the June windows. Jordan Pefok maybe blew his chance in qualifying. Still pretty wide open. Like, talk to us about your ambitions and aspirations for the national team, especially as it pertains to a wide open spot for the number 9 right now.
For sure. You know, I mean, for me, I truly believe anything is possible. And in a position that's open like that, I mean, if it's up in the air for grabs, I'm going for it, you know? I mean, why not? And for me right now, all I can do is like what Greg said, keep scoring goals and keep performing and helping Cincinnati do the best possible. And if I get that opportunity in September, then I'm running with it. You know, I mean, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Any player, any forward would love to be in this position that I am. And I can't take that for granted. So
let's be real. You're getting that opportunity.
Come on.
I hope so.
You're going.
We know Greg's watching right now. Come on, Greg. Let's make it happen.
Brandon, do you think that you're sort of, because of your size and the way that you play the game, that you're sort of pegged as a more traditional target striker, hold up play, and maybe overlooked for things that you feel that maybe you're better at in terms of your movement off the ball? You know, other ways that I had mentioned before of getting involved that Charlie had mentioned. Do you feel like you're sort of almost stereotyped because of your size of a striker and because of the way that you're sort of being known for right away? Do you feel like you're being put into a box that you know that you should fit outside of?
Yeah, maybe that's a good question. I mean, for sure, I would say my biggest forte would be, hold up striker, but I feel like I have good feet on me. I have good finishing. I can move in the box. I'm fast. So I feel like I can check off most of the boxes that are necessary to be in that position. Yeah.
So what you just said is you would absolutely dominate Jimmy Cream Cheese Conrad.
I mean, maybe on his day, he get the best of me every once in a while. Yeah. I'm crafty though. I'm crafty, Charlie.
But Charlie, real quick, the reason I asked that, and I'm sorry to take a follow up on this, but is because when we think about the national team, there seems to be a very specific way that Greg wants to play, a very specific style. And the ones that I think have struggled the most are what we would consider traditional target strikers and their ability to be more impactful over time, right? Because of not so much because of their quality, but because of the way the team plays, of getting that striker involved, that striker getting other players involved around them, finding a way to be impactful if there's long periods that we're not getting you the ball. And that's why I asked that. Do you feel like your style of play can fit in with the way the national team wants to play, or at least with your conversations that you've had with Greg?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I can, I feel like a chameleon in that way. You know, I feel like I could change. I'm very good at understanding what different coaches have wanted, like throughout my career. I've understood how they want their nines. Every coach wants their nine to fill in a certain role and do specific things. And I feel like I have everything to fulfill that, you know? So yeah, I feel like I could do anything that's asked of me.
When you see a player like Ricardo Pepi and he gets this $20 million move, you see Tati Castellanos and going to La Liga, these players that you're playing with, you're competing against, I would assume, because we had this conversation, you want to play in Europe. But are you now cognizant of, it's got to be the right place? You don't just go to Europe to go to Europe. Like, it's got to be, the coach needs me to play the system because I fit in that system. He wants me there. And I know I'm going to get opportunity versus, we got the biggest bid. I'm going to get the biggest paycheck and I'm off and we'll see what happens.
That's funny you say that, because that's exactly what me, my agents, my parents were talking about a little while ago. Like, when this opportunity comes up, I'm not going to want to go, like before you said, for the paycheck or just to send me overseas. You know, I mean, yes, my objective and my whole career, I've wanted to go overseas and play in the best leagues and for the best teams in the world. But at the same time, I don't want to be in that position where I go, but I'm stuck on a bench or I have to be sent on loan to go get some minutes in the second division somewhere. Like, you know, I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be in that position. And I'm not saying that's a bad route to take. I know a lot of players have taken that route and been successful. But, you know, kind of like I said, I want to go for a purpose. And when the time is right. Yeah.
Do you pay attention to what the other guys are doing? Because I did when I was like, wow, I got Eddie Pope in front of me and Oguchi Onyewu and Greg Berhalter and Corey Gibbs. And I'm watching how they're performing. I'm watching how their teams are getting results. And in some ways, I'm using that to inspire me. I'm not using it as a negative, but as a way to make sure that I'm playing at the same level. Yeah, are you doing the same? Because right now, what did you just say, Charlie?
And Alexi Lalas when he was playing.
No, come on. I'm not that old, dude. I didn't play that old. Listen, so I just wanted to know, like, you see Jesus Ferreira, he just has 15 goals now. You have 15 goals. Is that kind of a benchmark for you that you want to do maybe a little bit better than Jesus, because that's just going to give you more of an argument to use with Greg. Like, hey, listen, I'm in the same league. I'm scoring just as many goals, if not more, than Jesus. And I think I provide even more because of my size and my speed and everything else that I bring.
Yeah. You know, obviously on Instagram, I follow MLS. I see them post all this stuff of like, who's just scored, who's at the top, results of each team. And for me, it's kind of like what I mentioned earlier. Like, I try to not pay attention to my opposition as much. I don't find that to help me like motivate myself. I kind of find like I motivate myself by trying to like better myself than the week before. Mm-hmm. So it's really me against me, you know, and right now I'm not really looking at like who's right behind me or who's like at the same as me. I'm looking at Driussi right now thinking, I need to catch up to this guy. I need to pass this guy. But so in the race for that, yeah, that's my mentality right now.
But you definitely perked up a little bit when they moved that roster size 23 to 26 for the World Cup, right? Like, you definitely, and Jimmy had Greg Berhalter on. We talked about 2010, which was the, you know, our cycle, and how we had Robbie Finley, Hercules Gomez, Edson Buttle, all guys that made late pushes and made it to a World Cup squad. So, you know, you'd be lying if you didn't think about that a little bit, right? You know, when they moved that roster to 26.
Yeah, when I first heard that news, I was like, all right, okay, all right, sweet. Let's just keep grinding, you know. I can be there.
You're 100% you can be there. When you're looking at MLS right now, and Cincinnati's sitting in ninth place in the Eastern Conference, but I mean, we're talking tight. 32 points is Charlotte right behind you. But then Inter Miami, Orlando City are at 33 as well. New England and Columbus are at 34. What do you need to do to make sure that you guys are in the playoffs and that you're still leading the line, you're still scoring goals? Because I know defensively that was your problem with Cincinnati. Too many goals that you conceded. You brought in Miazga. Is that enough now to kind of be on the front foot and have more possession?
Yeah, you know, I mean, one of our biggest problems is allowing late goals. So I feel like on the attacking side, we've been really good. Brenner's been on fire. I feel like I've been doing really good. Lucho's been putting dimes for everybody. So, I mean, yeah, it's tough. It's one of those things that if we want to make it to playoffs, we got to start being more conservative, I guess, when we're leading games. You know, in the past couple games, we've allowed goals in the last 10 minutes and that have just taken a lot of points away from us. And it's probably been four or five times throughout the season where we've had the lead and we let that go. So, yeah, I think that's one of our biggest problems as a team right now, but yeah, we've been training on that every week, trying to find solutions. And, as soon as we get that down, I think we're going to be in playoffs for sure.
One question that just came to my mind is that you had the opportunity to play with Joseph Martinez when he was in his prime, mm-hmm. and watch him and see him in training. Did you pick up anything from him in terms of, you know, being able to finish, the different types of finishes and his runs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, seeing this guy day in, day out, it was something incredible. And being able to see his mentality, I mean, he had that Kobe type of mentality, you know, so being able to see that and try to get all the good stuff that he has and apply that to my game. I've tried to apply that. I mean, like I said, that killer mentality in the box, being smart about movements, and he was always at the right place at the right time. And there was times where I was sitting on the bench thinking like, oh, this guy's not having the best game. Maybe like I can come in and make the difference, you know? And then this guy would bang two at the end of the game somehow, just being in the right place at the right time. And I'm just like, God damn. this guy's crazy.
I'm glad, Charlie, you brought that up, because you have won an MLS Cup with Atlanta and an Open Cup. So you have some championship mentality and experience. And whether you were involved on the field, you were still a part of it, as Charlie mentioned, and just being around and seeing what it takes to be at that level. So how does that leadership, now that you've probably accrued during that time, when you try to emerge as a leader yourself, even though you're young, still trying to be a leader up top, right, in terms of your actions, but also in your words, how you rally the troops. Now, as you mentioned, you guys haven't won a lot lately, but you haven't lost either. In the last 11 games, you've only lost once, but you've only won two of those last 11. A lot of them are draws. So what do you do in terms of trying to get more out of the guys around you? Because you're only as good as your weakest link.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's one of those things where around 70th, 75th, 80th minute, a couple of the guys just start to lose that energy. And I feel like I can't point fingers because I feel like that's me too. You know, I mean, around 80th minute, that's when people are feeling the most fatigued. And it's just one of those things where you have to motivate your teammates and have them push as much as possible. And there's this guy, David Goggins. I read one of his books.
I know who he is.
Yeah, yeah, unbelievable, crazy mentality guy. But he says when you feel like you're at your 100%, you're really only at 60%. You got to push, and you don't know your max until you keep pushing yourself. So I always think that when I get in that fatigued mindset and the body starts feeling the tiresome, and you know, I think it's one of those things where you have to set an example. Like I need to set an example of bringing that energy to help, like me, Lucho Brenner, to drop back and be able to help the team defend out the scores.
Do you think it's also, I just want to jump in, do you think it's also you maybe drawing a foul, right, to slow the game down, to make sure everybody can transition, to take a breath? You know, little things like that where you think you could potentially add in as well. I'm sure you were going to get there, but I just couldn't help myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's all part of the game. You know, the little stuff, the time wasting, you see so many teams do that, and it's effective. You know, it's part of the game. And I think our team needs to have that little like feeling of time wasting too. So like you said, like that's all, it all, it's part of the game. And
like game management, right?
Exactly, game management. And I think we need to be better at that.
Let me ask you, I mean, just plain and simple, where you're at right now in the form that you had. Is it a form that you, we all set goals. Was there a goal tally that you set knowing that, you know, comparatively to seasons past, you can chalk up, you can come up with all kinds of excuses, right? Didn't get the chances, exactly. The right coach, the right situation, the timing. It's easy for you to just put those excuses out there. But now you're in this form. Is there a goal count or an assist count, or is there a number that you're going after now that you've set your sights on, and has it moved since the start of the season?
No, you know, I mean, I made a bet at the start of the season with a couple of my athletic trainers at Cincinnati that if I hit 20 goals, they have to get a 19 tatted on them. And they brought it up to me. And I was like, let's do it, you know?
when was this, by the way? Was this preseason? Was this early season?
This was probably beginning of the season. Of the season, maybe it was after the first two goals I scored. But they brought it up, and I was like, all right, let's do it. I'll take that bet any day. And they took it lightly, but now they're shivering. So yeah. It's pretty funny.
Are you gonna allow them like a buyout now of like something like maybe they can get some other tattoo if they do it now versus have to wait this out and get the number, or are you just seeing it through? Because I don't want to see any of this. I mean, you can let them have a tiny, tiny little number on it, but like, you know, all I'm saying is
I want to see it on somebody's butt cheek. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what they've been saying. Now they're talking about where they're going to get it and all.
No, lower back.
Lower back. There it is.
Nice 19 right there. When I think of the national team in the World Cup, I know the jerseys popped up. The league jerseys had to have popped up on your timeline. What came to mind for you? Was that something like, I can't wait to wear that, I'm motivated? Or were you like, man, those are ugly?
the leaked the jersey,
the leaked US men's national team jersey. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think they're clean, you know, that picture.
Let's go.
Everything. I thought it was clean. So of course I envisioned myself wearing that.
That when I saw it, I was like, I'm in love with the tie-dye, the blue tie-dye. And the white kit, I mean, yeah, you
iconic.
Could get creative.
A white kit is
clean.
Iconic.
Clean white kit. I love the central crest. So I'm all about it. And that's not the game. Like the kits that were released were like the generic kits. They weren't like the match kits that have like a different types of stitching within it.
Charlie, is this a PSA or something? What's going on?
No, I'm just saying. I like them.
Were you paid to say it though?
No.
You got to disclose that if you're paid.
Hashtag ad. This is how it works on social media, Charlie.
There's no ad here.
Uh-huh. With the swoosh on his shirt.
Yeah. All right. So Brandon, as part of our tradition here with our special guests, we wanted to ask you, like we ask everybody else, the best jersey you've ever swapped in your career. Or if you want to add to it, a regret, like you had the chance to ask somebody, but you got a little insecure, or it just wasn't the right time, because we've all had those in our, or we got told no. Like I asked Juan Ramon Riquelme to give me his jersey, and he didn't even look, didn't answer me, didn't look at me. So, so that was awesome. I felt like less than a human being, let alone a player. But was there like your best jersey swap, and then maybe any regrets?
My regret, first one that comes to mind, is Ibrahimovic. We got to play. I got to play against him when I was with Atlanta for his LA Galaxy, maybe 2018. Mm-hmm. And he's a player that I've watched since I was 10 years old, you know? So, I mean, as a number nine, somebody who's like tall, strong, just like a killer as well. Seeing him, I was like, oh, I should ask him. And then I was just like, too nervous. I was thinking like, oh, he's not gonna pay attention to me, you know, like he's not gonna know who I am, he's not gonna want to like switch. So I just chickened out. I didn't even ask him. That's my biggest regret. And my biggest jersey swap, my favorite one,
by the way, if you want tall, strong, and a killer, you could add, I'll trade shoots with you, man. Like I got it. You know what I mean? Look at this. Boom.
That's a,
maybe your best jersey swap hasn't happened yet, because you have a lot of years left in your career, and obviously we're pulling for you to play for the US Men's National Team.
Maybe there's one that you're eyeing, though. Is there one that you're like
eyeing
in the league? You're like, when we play, I'm swapping.
Yeah. Do you feel like you want to switch with defenders, like people you're playing against, or are you trying to go for the best player on the other team, like a Dreyusi from Austin or anybody else?
The only times I think about it is like when it's a big player that I watched when I was younger, you know. Mm-hmm. But besides that, like, nah.
All right. So, well, your jersey's in the mail. I'll send you my jersey. I know I was a poster on your wall, Brandon Vasquez. Thank you for your time, Brandon Vasquez. Brandon, good luck with
everything. Hold on. No, we didn't ask him. This man could play for Mexico.
Well, okay. Put him back. Back on the hot seat. Okay.
Did you forget he played for Tata, and Tata didn't give him no love?
I'm just saying.
I didn't even want to go there.
I believe in second chances.
He's representing the U.S., Heath. Come on.
Okay.
Don't even go there.
Don't even know. We're positivity only, okay? Hey, Brandon,
you entertaining that idea or no?
I have to, you know. I got to keep all my doors open until I get to that bridge, you know. Why close doors early?
No, I respect that, but I'm super bummed at Heath that he even brought that up, because we want you playing for the U.S. Brandon Vasquez, everybody, good luck with FC Cincinnati, and hopefully we'll see you called in for the September games and booking your ticket to the World Cup. Brandon Vasquez, unbelievable. We're going to take our first and only break of In Soccer We Trust. When we come back, we'll talk about what we just heard from Brandon and, of course, talk about Christian Pulisic maybe on the move and, once again, those new leaked U.S. Men's National Team jerseys. Don't go anywhere.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to In Soccer We Trust. I'm Jimmy Cream Cheese Conrad with Charlie Chuckwagon Davies and Hollywood Heath Pierce. And before we continue to talk about what we just heard from Brandon Vasquez, our very, very special guest from FC Cincinnati and hopefully the U.S. Men's National Team moving forward, I got to let everybody know that Paramount Plus is the only place to stream every minute of every Serie A match. And you can quickly and easily sign up for your very own account right now with a free 1 month trial by going to paramountplus.com/Italy. Just click the try it free button and use promo code Italy for instant access to the best Italian club soccer, also known as Calcio, available, and it's on all of your devices. Visit paramountplus.com/Italy and start streaming today. Serie A has been popping off this particular season, but I want to talk a little Weston McKennie, and I do want to talk a little Christian Pulisic and the new jerseys, but let's talk about Brandon Vasquez. Charlie, resident number nine, what do you think about his thoughts? The confidence is clear.
Yeah.
And he knows that I think he ticks a lot of boxes as to what we'd want. He just needs the opportunity. And what I think is interesting, he said he didn't get the opportunity for the first 4 or 5 years of his MLS career. He finally gets valuable minutes where he knows he's the guy, where he's allowed to make a few mistakes, and it's not going to be the end of the world. They're not going to pull him or make him sit. They're going to work through his mistakes, and he's really blossomed. 15 goals in 24 league games is nothing to sneeze at.
I love the confidence from Brandon Vasquez. I also see the development and the growth from Brandon Vasquez. This was a player who, like he was saying, only got 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, and in difficult situations for any player. How are you going to get rhythm and confidence? He finished, you talk about finishing the year strong and then starting back up where you left off. So I think we're just starting to see him start to gain momentum. He's nowhere near his top potential. I mean, he has a lot of room to grow, which is great, because if he's scoring 15 goals and has 4 assists and his real first pro season, that the potential is through the roof. So I think for the national team, in terms of having a big presence, somebody who's making hard runs in the box, who's good in the air, good finisher, but creating space with runs, one, and having that size and being and having the hold up play, which is so important, especially in a World Cup, is massive. Where he still needs to improve, and he knows that, we've had this conversation, is just connecting passes, not losing possession. It's not about the killer pass all the time, because he can make it, but when he does hold it up, making sure that you connect passes and making the right decision. So I think he's going to be there in September, and then it's the opportunity's on him to take it with both hands.
Yeah, hopefully he gets the minutes to actually prove himself if he does get called in, and I think that he will as well. At least that's where I'm leaning. I have no inside information. Another thing I really like about his game, Chuck, is that he will make the thankless runs to open up space for other people, and he seems to be willing to do that. I know a lot of strikers, and we've played with a lot of those, that will do that for a while, and then they get a little tired when they don't get the service maybe that they want, and will stop doing that. But I think it'll be really important, especially with this particular collection of players on the national team who like to find those pockets of space in front of the back four. You need somebody to give us that verticality to create that space in the first place. And if Vasquez is willing to do that thankless running over and over and over again, I think that just helps his chances.
That Coach Jimmy over there again?
It is. I got my coach. I borrowed my Coach Chuck hat and I put it on my head. So Heath, I want to ask you this about him in particular, because he came in and was signed MLS at 18, and it wasn't handed to him right away. He had to sit there and he had to work through it. And he didn't get his first significant minutes where he was the guy for 5 years. And now he's the guy. How important do you think that was to how he's been shaped? And now that he has this opportunity, he can really take it with both hands because he knows how hard he had to fight for it.
It's hard to say. I mean, I would love Charlie's take on this, knowing, you know, Charlie's journey going through the college ranks and into the professional ranks, and in a different sort of way, that what would have happened to Charlie if Charlie went straight into Hammarby at 18 years old? You know, what would have been?
Probably would have been at Real Madrid.
Yeah, probably.
I can't believe you said that out loud.
If Charlie, if you wanted to, you know, if the timing made sense.
If Zidane called me, then I probably would have gone.
No, but I mean, that's the thing, is I think about, like, how much do you gain through, you know, he talked about David Goggins, which I thought was really interesting.
Stay hard, everybody.
who's a motivational speaker. I think, you know, ultra marathon guy. I think he's a military vet, that sort of thing, or lives in that sort of mentality world. And I think about that and how important that is for what he went through adversity wise, right? Of not really getting his chances until now. But then I compare that to, well, what if he was just in an environment where he was getting some chances? Where would he be on it in his journey? And you could make this web any million ways. And we all went through it, where you think about what if. Let's not play that game. You know, Charlie was at Real Madrid just a minute ago.
let's not play that game.
I mean, we would have won the State Cup, Charlie. Yeah. And then, you know.
Oh my God! Regionals, ODP, Region 1.
Yeah, I will say I was a Golden Boot winner at a regional camp once, and I just think, what if I would have played striker, Charlie? You know,
you would have been a phenomenal left winger.
Yeah, who knows? But I think about that, and I think about, he's kind of on his journey, and you can't really say what if he's made the most of that. Now he's battled adversity, and he's leveraged that now into the form that he's in. Can he sustain this? Can he take this level? Can this be the new baseline for him? And that's really, really tough.
It has to be.
But we'll find out.
Well, you basically said you're either Justin Braun or
I forgot about Justin Braun.
He did score a hat trick, Jimmy, and we called him Braunaldinho for a while.
We did, as we should.
That was like a running joke. And everyone knew. And I don't know if did he like actually think that was like I'm Braunaldinho, or he was these guys are.
So wait, my nickname Conradinho has just been a joke to everybody this whole time?
No, that was real.
Everyone thinks real. Yeah, that's completely that real.
Charlie, we'll talk about that after.
But Justin Braun took us real stray. Yeah. I mean,
it's a stray in the sense that like this guy, incredible athletic capabilities, right? He could jump, he could run, he was fast, he had all these physical tools.
Like, but he had feet for nothing.
Feet for nothing, but like in training, feet not great. Nothing. In games over 90 minutes, not that impactful. Like, it would frustrate the hell out of you playing with him, but he finished with double-digit goals. That was a guy where he just like it made no sense. The two never seemed to line up, and so like you said, like this has to be the new normal for him, because I don't want the default to be he had a great season, because we've seen a lot of strikers have a great season.
Oh yes, we have.
We're seeing some things that look a little more sustainable about his game and the way that they're playing at Cincinnati. And I just want to know, does that translate to the next club? Does it translate to the national team? Does it translate into a career?
You know, we're not going to know unless he gets minutes, right? I mean, it seems like when he has the backing of a system and a coach, he can definitely blossom and flourish. And maybe Ricardo Pepi could say the same thing. If this guy at Augsburg would just give me a chance and give me actually like three games in a row where I get to play and do some things, maybe I get to showcase a different side of my ability that maybe they haven't seen just yet. And that's part of the risk you take, I think, when you make any move to a club in Europe in particular. All right, let's talk about Christian Pulisic and clubs in Europe, because Christian Pulisic isn't getting minutes and he obviously wants to be sharp. Apparently Greg Berhalter has told him or recommended that he go find a place where he gets minutes as opposed to sitting on the bench at Chelsea. Now, the two options right now are both United, Newcastle and Manchester United. I'm going to go to you first, Charlie. What do you think would be a better fit? Because Newcastle, maybe not where they need to be. They're not going to be playing in the Champions League. Either will Manchester United. But their future seems a little bit more bright. Now, apparently, it's only going to be a loan move. So everything that has to be taken into consideration. Manchester United, though, a bit of a dumpster fire, grasping at straws, trying to sign anybody that has a big name at this point, even Casemiro, which I think would solve some of their problems, but still seems kind of desperate. But they need people. The thing I have an issue with Christian Pulisic going to Man United is they seem to have a lot of guys in those areas that maybe just aren't playing at the highest level. You got Rashford and Ilanga and Martial, who can also play the nine. And Christian can move around and obviously be valuable in different spots. But I wonder if Newcastle might be a better landing spot because he'll be depended on in a little bit more of a different way.
I would argue against the move to Newcastle. I see the point of, he's in the Premier League still and he's going to be playing for the most part. Look at the way they play, their style.
That doesn't fit
Christian. So sure. I think for me, if you're saying where would he go, because I think he needs to leave Chelsea. I've been saying that since last year, to get consistent playing time and the respect that he deserves. As long as he stays healthy, he's gonna fight. He's not one of those players that's just gonna rest on his laurels and say, I'm Christian, like I'm gonna expect things. He goes out there and fights. I think if he goes to Manchester United, well, Erik ten Hag, he loves players who are technically gifted. He would fit right perfectly into that Ajax system. So I think given that, plus the quality of players that they do have, they're not going to be bad the whole year. This is one of those problems where they're going to have to work out. It's going to take some time. But they're going to finish in the top half. This isn't a team it's Manchester United. They're not going to finish in the bottom half.
Agreed.
But the style of play, I think, would fit Christian better. And it would be a move that he would welcome, probably, because at least he's going to get more playing time. Thomas Tuchel has made it clear. He is not clear. And then the bid for Anthony Gordon of Everton. That's not enough, that's like insulting. A slap in the face.
I think it's insulting the fact that Anthony Gordon's even being linked to Chelsea when you have Christian Pulisic on the bench, Heath.
But Man United is the same thing, right? Charlie, I fully agree. When you look at it the way from the perspective that you have, it's a great opportunity for him. Yes, and they also have Jadon Sancho in that team. But so it shows that they've got some depth in those positions. Do I think Christian Pulisic thrives when it's a true open competition to win spots? Yes, I think that's going to get the most out of him. But Manchester United finishing in the top half still won't align with what the expectations on Ten Hag are, or to play at Manchester United, which is a Champions League spot.
He's still
going
to play, though.
And so,
but I wonder, under that type of pressure,
is there the ability to have a clear set of starters in the same way Chelsea's continuously rotating? Will Man United end up rotating all season long with all their players, including Ilanga, who's coming up now?
But aren't we just really worried about and concerned about Christian Pulisic's next 3 or 4 months? I mean, I don't really, I mean, obviously I want him to do well and he'll figure out the rest of his career after the World Cup. I just want this guy sharp for the next 3 or 4 months. And then obviously can be the guy for us, Charlie.
Yeah. 100%. You want him playing, but you also want him to be able to play in a style that is suitable to his game. Newcastle's very direct. A lot of aerial balls. Yeah. Not that they play long balls, but it's not.
They're more defense first.
Yeah, it's not going to be, I think, beneficial for a Christian to go to that type of environment. Now, if you go to Manchester United, yes, the pressure is a crazy high, but the level of player and the quality of play is so much higher. And if they do take him on loan, that means Ten Hag says, I want him. I want him to play in our system. Maybe there's an option to buy included in that. So you would feel comfortable going to Manchester United because you would only leave Chelsea to go to United if there's a real guarantee to play.
But does he need him? You know, like in a way he does, but he's got a lot of wingers too.
He doesn't like the players that he has. I mean, he's made it apparent. He's like, I want players. I need players. So that means you don't value some of these guys that you already have.
I just feel like some of the moves that they'd be making now just feel desperate because a lot of their other moves haven't worked out. Right. Absolutely. So it's interesting. The whole Manchester United situation is interesting.
If you said Crystal Palace or Wolves, I would be fine with that. Cause I mean, even a player like Conor Gallagher who goes back to Chelsea is on the bench, not playing. What would have been so much more beneficial if he stayed at Crystal Palace?
That's a great example. That's a great example. Right? Yeah. Hit us up at ISWT Pod on Twitter. Drop us a follow there as well. Let us know your thoughts on Christian. Should he stay at Chelsea? Should he go to one of the United? Should he just leave the country and try to go hook up with Atletico Madrid or a Juventus or somewhere?
Or LAFC on loan.
LAFC. You know. Come with Gareth Bale. I don't know. Chiellini. And have some fun back here at home. Let us know on that. And then, of course, hit us up in the comments about this Christian Pulisic situation, which I hope will get resolved sooner rather than later for everybody's benefits. All right, let's move on now to Weston McKennie getting the start. A bit of a surprise against Sassuolo for Juventus when it looked like he was going to be out for more of a significant time due to his dislocated shoulder. Heath, I'll come back to you on this. What are your thoughts on Weston? Good news, of course, for the U.S. men's national team. But and obviously the trust of getting Allegri to get in. I know Paul Pogba's out right now, and I was very curious to see if both were healthy, who was actually going to get the start. But Weston's got to take advantage of his opportunities when they come.
Yeah, again, I'm not worried about Weston getting time at Juventus this year. I think he'll continue to get time. I think it's great to show that level of health. I always get worried, as I said before, about bringing a player back too quick. Didn't play the full 90, rotated out. Easy, pretty fundamental win against, I think it was Sassuolo or something like
Sassuolo,
that. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a great start to the season. We've missed him for months, right? In and out of injury. So to have him back, hopefully we're seeing this consistent run of form now into the World Cup, because again, he's a player that whether he's playing 45, 60, 30 minutes, 70 minutes, 90 minutes, week in and week out, I'm not worried about whether he gets time. He will. I'm not worried about whether it's 30 or 90. I prefer 90. But the fact that he's back on the field, if he's healthy, I like that.
Okay, so we're going to preview all the players tomorrow, amongst other things we'll do in our show tomorrow. Make sure you join us for the ISWT Pod. It'll be 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern if you want to watch it here on the YouTubes, or you can listen to it anytime you want on your podcast platform of choice. So we'll get into more about Weston and all the other players, what's upcoming for them. But let's talk about this leaked jersey again. I know we talked about it with Brandon Vasquez. And Charlie, I was actually kind of surprised that you liked it. I didn't think you would like this new jersey. And I don't know if producer Alex can throw it up for us for everybody watching, but do you think it's real first and foremost? You think those are the real kits?
I would say that they're not the real match day kits. Like they're the generic ones. So they're not the ones that they'll be wearing on the pitch, because the ones on the pitch, I think, have there's more stitching.
Yeah, of course.
Involved in it. But I think for the most part, probably looks like those are going to be the kits. I mean, they were hanging in Dick's Sporting Goods, which is crazy, a month before the official release.
Right. Mm. Yeah. No. And for those that don't know, make sure you go just type in U.S. Men's National Team or USMNT leaked kits. Both options will pop up. The white one, which looks, it kind of reminds me of, I feel like a U.S. women's national team, maybe the ones they won and used in 99 to win the World Cup. I'll have to go back and look, but there seems to be some similarities to that. Mm-hmm. And then the blue one is the away kit would be kind of has like a splatter on it, Heath Pierce, where, you know, it's not as, it looks like for me more of a training jersey than it does like a proper second kit, but apparently that's the one. Any thoughts on these kits?
Not really. I mean, I do like the sort of paint or marble or tie dye, whichever dye kit job, dye job, whatever it is that they did on the blue one. That's cool. It's something different than just plain blue. And then the white one actually reminds me of like old US training kits.
I get those O2 vibe World Cup kits.
Yeah. I mean, it literally reminds me, especially around the neck, of like my youth national team training shirts and things like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Not so much. Obviously the crest is new, but I mean, I like it. And I don't know if, is there a shirt sponsor? Is there a logo sponsor for national teams? It's just training shirts, right?
No, there's no like logo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's solid. It's one of those things that it's, you know, the easiest thing to do is criticize anything that anybody ever puts out.
It's a problem is it's leaked. Yeah. It's not, there's not a story behind it and a player rocking it. Like the Brazil kit that dropped on Instagram, you're seeing, you know, the Jaguar, they take the Amazon rainforest and they incorporate it into the kit, the traditional yellow kit from Brazil. Typically, there's not anything in it, but they put like the subtle Jaguar markings into it. And then the blue away kit, you're like, okay, I get it. This is a fire.
Yeah.
But if you probably leaked it.
This is like on a hanger whack. in a retail store, you know, like
a whack hanger kind of too. Like,
yeah, whack. I know. I agree. There's no story. I mean, to be fair, some people sometimes when clubs rebrand or do these refreshers, they like take everything where it's like the line pointing up means we're looking to the stars, you know, like, and you're like, okay, that's a little much, but I like that what you said, Charlie, like the story behind it is pretty cool and the inspiration behind it, you know, and obviously the gold standard was when, Matt, can't remember what his name was, did the Nigeria kit, the Nike Nigeria kit. And that was like the big, big thing. He's one of the owners of Vermont Green. I can't remember, blanking on his last name right now. I should know it, but yeah, that's like the gold standard, but like, there's going to be a lot of really vanilla kits at the World Cup. And this is one that I like.
Shout out to New England.
Yeah, everybody in the comments apparently that's watching on YouTube, for everybody listening, hate the new kits. I do want to say
it's
very
Matt,
quickly.
Matt Wolf, by the way.
Matt Wolf, yeah, that's who it is.
I just want to raise my hand and say that when the kits that they're wearing now, and the men's and women's, the red kind of jagged with the navy blue, I did not like that kit. Because I just didn't think it would look good. It's grown on me though, Charlie. And it's grown on me, everybody, right. But when you put it in the full kit, it makes a lot more sense. And I wonder if with the kits that we're looking at now that have been leaked, when you see it in full, when you see it with a number, you know, they don't have numbers on them yet. And I think that might change my perception about this. Do I think it's not as distinguishing as the Waldo kit, the red and white kit or the Bomb Pop kit? You know, those are very.
Hey, I've got a box of kits, by the way, Jimmy. Of all kinds of ones from my 2005 to 2012 window.
What about
I would love to just show
51.
Yeah, Jimmy's got. Oh, Jimmy, is that still Jimmy? Where do you keep the 1951?
It's I hate you guys.
But I'm saying like we should bring them on and go through them and talk about them. Like, cause it's one thing to talk about these kits in isolation. When they actually do the full release, we should bring on some of our old kits and kind of walk through our favorites. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I'd like to know what he thinks. Like my grandfather played with Jimmy. I think the first training session, he said, Jim made quite an appearance. He came in to like a double 2-footed tackle. And then he got up and he was like, yeah, I'm here. I'm going to be here for a long time.
Yeah. A long, long time. Yeah. Well, that was also when Jimmy was in work boots before they started putting the studs on him. So
that's very true.
It wasn't a 2-footed tackle. He was slipping, you know,
that's when the headbutts or the heading the ball of like a 15-pound ball was frowned upon. All right. So not only are the people in the comments giving some criticism to these kits, but apparently Weston McKinney said on Instagram, I tried to tell them. And that was his comment with regard to these World Cup kits and basically confirming that I tried to tell them these weren't that good. And I think that pretty much seals the deal for me, Weston McKinney.
I respect that because Weston McKinney makes a lot of money from people that have a hand behind that. For him to just say, try to tell him, it's an honest take. You're allowed to have an honest take. And the fact that he said that, I respect that a lot.
I love that. All right. We're at the end of In Soccer We Trust for this show. Obviously, again, we have another 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, is he Adidas? Okay.
He is an Adidas athlete.
Well, he's going to be an Adidas athlete.
Look at Jimmy Froze.
I did not freeze.
He's so old.
Man. My, this cream cheese never gets old over
Jimmy's
here.
Jimmy's chair, Charlie, for broadcast is that one of those electronic ones, Charlie, helps him stand up again, where he presses the button and it stands him straight back up again so he can walk out of the room.
You know what? This show's, I was going to give you guys final thoughts. I don't even know if I want to anymore. But Charlie, final thoughts for today's show. Obviously, like, a shout out to Brandon Vasquez for coming on and enlightening us with his philosophy and his mentality.
Jimmy's like Professor X.
Yeah. Jimmy has to write down his final thoughts so he doesn't forget them, you know?
I can't confirm or deny these rumors at this time. Is that your final thought, Heath Pierce?
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Show's over, everybody. I'm calling it. So on behalf of producer Dez, producer Alex, Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies, and Hollywood Heath Pierce, I'm Jimmy Cream Cheese Conrad. I'm younger than I look, and I appreciate you guys listening and watching in Stock We Trust. We will see you tomorrow. Later.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.